Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back, people. Welcome back. We back at it. First thing I want to start off with this show. Last week, we kind of got in Eddie Goldman's behind a little bit because he didn't show up for minicamp and we thought he was grossly out of shape. So I want to say that there was an error, what we assumed, and the Three Kings posted a video of Eddie Goldman working out, and he looked in pretty good shape. And Bill Zimmerman of Win the City Gridiron and Sirius XM Radio stated that a source very close to the situation, probably Eddie Goldman himself, who knows, said that he was going to be at camp. So Eddie Goldman will be at camp. So I just wanted to start that off. And it's good to have the big fella back, man. And I think that's going to help the Bears run defense because we were getting run all over last year. I think we were giving up 120 rushing yards on the ground. And in 2019, I think we were giving up 100. And in the previous year, we were giving up 80. So hopefully we can get back to double digits and not single digits with big Eddie Goldman there and emergence of Bilal Nichols, man. So I just want to get you fellas' opinion on that, man. Eddie Goldman's back almost for certain, which should help that front seven.
That's huge. And, that's huge, man. Eddie Goldman coming back is like the anchor of the defense. He is the anchor, and he's solid. So that's a huge, huge ordeal because it opens up so much more for everybody else defensively. Again, it plugs up the run game. It plugs up that middle. To where, you know, teams just can't ground and pound as they were doing late in the season last year due to the fact that we had no one that could anchor that middle. So in that 3-4 scheme that we run, you know, you need a solid nose tackle. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, Eddie Goldman ran a 3-4 at Florida State. He was the anchor in the middle at Florida State, you know, so he's used to it. He's prone to it. He knows the position. It's solid, man. It's definitely solid. I'm happy he's back. I'm happy that he's in shape. You know, he looks like the big bear that he is, you know, the big round, robust man that he is that can anchor that middle and control, you know, and control and allow our outside guys to do what they do. That's huge.
It's a big
thing, man. You know, last week we were on here and we were like, you know, here and there on the situation, trying to figure out what was going on, as was everybody, because everybody was so hush hush about it, you know, in the organization. And, you know, all we had to go on was really Danny Trevathan saying, hey, he's working. He's going to be OK. Everything's going to be fine. He looks different. And then we got that video clip of him lifting some weights. On what was it, June 6 or 7, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody was like, okay, he looks good. He looks good. What's the problem, though? You know what I mean? So he's saying that he's going to be there, man. Hey, that's all I'm happy for it. You know, whatever, you know, as far as what was going on before, why was that was the case. I think what it was is probably, I think it had to do something with money, man. Something with money. It's just my personal opinion. I don't have no, you know, sources on this or anything, but you know, when a guy sits out, he sits out and they kind of like put the whole contract back 1 year. Right. So he still gets that money that he's guaranteed and things like that. And, you know, the Bears, maybe they came in there and was like, you know, I don't know, you know, do we want to pay him all this money or, you know, do we want to ask for some back? Do we want to ask him to take a pay cut, whatever. So maybe there was some go back and forth between on that situation, which I kind of alluded to last week. But you know what I mean? At the end of the day, there's water under the bridge now. We got him back in the fold and we ready to roll now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's big. Like, as far as scheme, like the 3-4, like a little insight on it is that, like, Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks, they can two-gap. What that means is they cover up two lanes because they're so big and powerful. They have to double each person. And then that gives Khalil Mack one-on-ones and outside guys one-on-ones and also allow the linebackers to roam free. And that's big. Like, and if you got Bilal Nichols out there, he got a one-on-one. And
that's going to be huge, man.
That's huge.
When we got the linebackers that we have in Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, it allows them to be aggressive and make plays rather than just being space tacklers, right? Last year, Roquan had a ton of tackles because he was a space tackler. But as far as disrupting, being a disruptive force, it allows these dudes to be a disruptive force because they don't have to worry about guards and tackles grabbing on them now. They can kind of, you know, be free to move about and do whatever they need to do. So they can shoot gaps more. They can gamble a little bit more. They can take chances. Some of the stuff that they weren't able to do last year.
Yeah, because, yeah, you got to double Mac. I mean, Goldman and Hicks, because if you don't, they're going to kill your quarterback, dude. You're going to have 350-pound dudes slinging. You see how those dudes be slinging quarterbacks when they sack them. They don't just hit quarterbacks. They, like, take them and chuck them 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, you know, so you got to double them. And that's big for this offense. And I was saying that last year when we were going through our issues. I was like, man, Eddie Goldman is huge for this team, dude, because he is like, he's a brick wall. He don't always get the sacks. He don't always get this. He get a few, which is big for a nose tackle, but like you can't run. Just go back and watch Eddie Goldman. Go back and watch those old Bear games. Go watch 2019, 2018, and watch how teams couldn't run on the Bears. None of them. The best running back, they've come in. Oh, Dalvin Cook is like, he's tearing up the NFL. He's, you know, destroying the league. And he come in here and get like 30 yards.
Clogging it up, man.
Yeah. You come in here and you see Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman just slinging them all over the field. Bilal Nichols just slinging this dude all over the field. I think that's huge, man, because we got a young secondary. And, you know, having a stout front seven like that is huge. You know, we might actually see something out of Robert Quinn because he had Eddie Goldman there. You know, he might have less responsibilities to stop the run and you know, he ain't got a single gap and all that stuff.
Just think about the three guys up front, right? You got the nose tackle with Eddie Goldman, what, 6'4", 350, 360 pounds probably, right? And then you got Akeem Hicks on one side, 6'5", 340, 350 pounds. And then on the other side, you got Bilal Nichols, 6'4", 313, 315. Mm-hmm. You got three guys.
Yeah.
You know, you got 1,000 pounds right there.
And they're athletic. They ain't just like
waddling. They're not just sloths out there. Exactly. Yeah. They tough. So that's good.
Bilal Nichols, a lean 315.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. He's fit.
Yeah.
He's running heels. That's scary, bro.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of lean, man, and Fetty.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
He was looking good, wasn't he?
He looks lean and mean.
He was looking good.
Solid.
Tell me, man. I like that, man. I like sometimes you get these guys who bounce back, you know, after they, you know, get drafted high, they fall off, and then they come back. And, you know, I'm not saying he is or not, man, but sometimes you get these guys. Akeem Hicks is one of these guys, you know, that the Bears picked up after he bounced around a couple times. He was just kind of a role player. And then for whatever reason, it clicks. They put in that work, and then they get it, man. So hopefully Fetty's one of those guys, bro, because he's looking fit. He's looking fit.
He's looking real good.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. And that'll segue into the Bears didn't sign Morgan Moses. We talked about that last week. And I think we all kind of agreed that it was like, I was kind of like, once I kind of looked into it. At first, I was like, yeah, let's sign him. And I'm like, this dude's 30 years old. Does he fit into the long-term plan of the Chicago Bears? No, not at 30, you know. And we're not going to sign him to a long-term contract. So I'm like, you got a guy like a Fetty who's 26, right, who played pretty well. He only gave up 2 sacks and like 1,000 snaps last year, for those who don't know, at right tackle and right guard. So he's flexible. He's younger. He's athletic. He seems to be in really good shape. I questioned how motivated the Bears probably were in signing somebody like Morgan Moses. Like, I'm pretty sure they kicked the tires. But how motivated, you know?
They weren't. Now, it was just, you know, okay, let's bring him in. Let's see what we have. you know what I'm saying, a possibility of let's see what we got. But, you know, what is the point in picking up Borum and Jenkins, those younger guys, if you're going to bring in somebody that's at the end of their fucking career for a probably a 1 year prove it deal, which he was looking for anyway. That's what he signed with the Jets. Wasn't 1 year prove it deal. And try to secure his one last payday. Anybody you sign in this offseason, they're only going to sign 1 year deals due to the fact that the salary cap is jumping sky high next offseason. So guys are going to get paid. You know what I'm saying? So it pretty much, you know, it was like, all right, let's kick the tires on them. But if you bring them in, then you stunting the growth of Larry Borum at right tackle, you know, because now he's coming in at right tackle. Now you got a Fetty at right tackle. Now you got Borum. You know, you're stunting his growth. Of course, we know Jenkins is going to be the guy on the left. Hands down. No questions asked. He's going to be the guy on the left. So go with a Fetty. Just go with a Fetty. If he tanks out, throw Borum out there. And now your offensive line is solidified for the next 5 to 10 years. If you can sign them all.
Right. See, the thing is with Morgan Moses is, like you said, he's 30 years old. You know, we just let go of Bobby Massey, who's 31. Mm-hmm. This is what would be the difference between those two players? In my opinion, I don't see any difference. I don't see a significant upgrade in that. You know what I mean? You just move laterally for no reason. It makes no sense. You know, especially when you got Ifedi and you got these other guys, Borum. You know what I mean? And you got guys that you want to try to develop. Why stick them on the pine and not develop them and move laterally and grab a Morgan Moses? It just didn't make sense. There's a lot of Bears fans that's upset about it. They wanted Morgan Moses.
Why?
And it's like, man, you can't just hear somebody's name and say, oh, we need him.
That's what happened, I mean? Bro.
And that's the problem with a lot of our fan base, man. We'll take anybody's trash. And, oh, yeah, man, that's great. We should have got – oh, man, that's incredible. We could have got –
The tailgate show to always do it. They got that one meme where it's like Bears, Bears, Bears.
Yes.
Since somebody cut it, like Bears.
Yes.
They'd be like DeCastro. That's another one people wanted, DeCastro. Exactly. Yeah, that's all people saying, that they'll sign DeCastro, put white hair center, and put Mustafa on the bench. I'm like, bro, Mustafa's 24.
Right.
Like, see what you got. He played like 7 games last year, right, or something, and he played pretty well. Exactly. And then you ask him, because he above the neck, he got it. Right. He's smart. Mm-hmm. He's smart. He's intelligent. He can get everybody all online. He can snap the ball. They said, come in here bigger and stronger. And he did that.
He did that.
So he did that. And then you're going to put him on the bench? Yeah. Because for some 31-year-old offensive lineman who probably you're going to sign a 1-year deal, which is going to segue me. I'm going to say this too. I posted this on Twitter. This year, the Bears are playing with house money. No, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's job are not on the line. Right?
They're not.
This year is the year to find out what you have. So, yes, you need to play guys like Mustafa. You need to put Tevin Jenkins at left tackle. You need to give a gang of snaps to Cole Kmet. You need to play Kendallville Door and see if he's the outside guy. You need to, let Tevin Travis Gibson, I always get him and Tashaun, some snaps so you can see if he's going to be an edge rusher of the future. This is the year. If any year you're going to do it, you do it this year, because this year is the rookie year of Justin Fields. Rookie quarterbacks, they make the playoffs sometimes, but they don't win the Super Bowl. It's never happened. I ain't saying it can't happen, but I'm saying the probability of it happening is really low.
Well, it happened. It happened once that I know of. Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that was
it. And he wasn't carrying a team. He was carried by the damn defense.
And that's the point. It's like, this year is going to be an experience year. Get those guys out there. Let them get their bumps, their bruises, and include Justin Fields. So next year, when you got cap space, you can go out and you know who you need to keep. Maybe since you play Vildor, you know if you need a number two or number three cornerback, because you played them.
Oh, exactly.
And for anybody that really wanted David DeCastro, just to let you guys know, he needs ankle surgery again for the third time.
Yep.
Just to be honest with you guys. So, you know, he's he also said that if it doesn't go well, if the surgery doesn't go the way he wants it to go,
he's
going to
retire.
He has no problem hanging it up and moving on with his life.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
So it's funny how everybody,
who's risking that?
Everybody jumped on.
We got
board
young like guys.
David DeCastro, get him.
We got Mustafa. We got Bars. We got James
Daniels.
There's a
reason why these guys get cut, man. It's
these dudes are under 25. Why are we? Oh, like I can't. Like I saw that dude, and I've been seeing it all the time. And I'm just like, every time somebody comes up, people were like, another guy, like the cornerback. I looked into him, Steven Nelson. People were like, oh, we need to sign. He gave up like 7 touchdowns last year. I don't want that dude on my team.
Exactly.
And then the people were upset about Breshad Breeland. He's a height. He's the same height as Kendall Vildor. I'd rather see Kendall Vildor play. Like, you draft these guys
for a reason.
You don't draft them to just sit them on the bench for their whole career.
Exactly.
You got to put them out
there. They got to play at some point.
What if they don't play? Then they don't work.
Exactly. Do you draft another. I mean,
that's another one, but you got to play them. You can't just, like, imagine if we never played Mooney, dude. He's, oh, man, we can't play Mooney. He's a fifth round rookie. We can't depend on him. Let's play, what's his name?
Wims.
Because he's Wims. A vet. Wims, because he knows the offense.
Like, no. No,
man. You got to put these guys, you got to eventually put these guys out. As long as it's safe to do so, they're not so completely lost in the sauce, but you got to put them out there, man.
Exactly.
You got to play these guys, man. We can't just keep signing washed up 30-year-old veterans, and that's the Bears' way.
Makes no sense, man.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that off my chest. It's been rubbing me. People, oh, why don't we sign this washed up veteran? Oh, this washed up veteran. Why don't we? Like, even Richard Sherman, I like Richard Sherman, man. He's like 33. He ain't the long term plan. He ain't the long term plans. We're about.
It's a youth movement.
Yeah.
Youth movement. Got to get younger.
We're going to have to get younger. There's going to be some vets that get cut after this year, you know, some, you know, and we, that's where we're at. You, it's a reset with Justin Fields, man. So
Justin Fields is giving this team like new life, like a breath of fresh air. Damn, I was just about to say, it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's a breath of fresh air. You know, it's he's just given so much hope when we were, man, look. I'm not going to mention his name, but when he was here, man, that tenure,
old QB.
When he was here, man, my God, it was like, it was like Groundhog Day. Yeah. Same shit, different game.
Yep.
Same everything. It was just like, ugh.
Fan base was fighting. We were all divided.
Man, you know what? I'm glad that happened, though, because it just goes to show how completely delusional, how completely lost, out of touch, and just football inadequate a lot of our fan base is. And they're just fans because of the Bears. It's because that's all they know is the Bears. That's it. Because you had people legit saying that this man was a real quarterback. And it took me one season to realize, and I'm not talking about his rookie season. It took me all of the 2018 season to realize he ain't it.
Now, I ain't gonna lie, you were off of him before I was. I remember I was like, nah, Mitch, cool. You'd be like, nah, man.
Mitch suck.
And I was like, nah, man, watch this throw. And I was like, you know, well, I think a lot of that is, man, is that I'll give props to our fan base to an extent for most of them. I think a lot of people bought in. A lot of people are admitting that now. It's people that I legit had muted and blocked that we're now cool because, you know, they admitted like, hey, man, I was just trying to hype them up because I thought, you know, you're trying to sell yourself on something. You're trying to sell yourself that the guy is good, you know, and I think our fan base does a lot more research on quarterbacks than other fan bases, which I've been going back and forth with people on Twitter about this. Other fan bases, because now we're starting to get sniped by fan bases who didn't pick Justin Fields because all these articles and all these talking heads are starting to call out teams for passing on Justin Fields, like the Broncos, like the Vikings, like the Lions, like the Panthers. You're starting to get these guys in your mentions because some dude wrote an article talking about, oh, you know, other teams passed on them too. And, you know, you're starting to see ESPN and, oh, this team needs a quarterback. Why didn't they pick Justin Fields? When pre-draft, they were trying to find every reason they could to tear this man down. And we were defending against that before the draft. So it's not like this is new with us with Justin Fields post-draft. We were doing this pre-draft. Mm. We've been on this train.
See, the thing with the whole thing with me, I was on him for longer than you guys both were, I think, right? And the reason I was is because I look at it from a different perspective. I'm looking at it like, okay, he has talent. There's no denying that he had some tools. He can move, yeah. He can run, he can throw the ball. But the dude was very inexperienced. So it's like, you know what I mean? You know what you're going to be dealing with. You're going to be dealing with a work in progress. When they drafted him, that's what he was. He was a project. Mm-hmm. And the Bears, when they got Khalil Mack, they all of a sudden catapulted to being contenders, but he was still down here as this freaking project. Yeah. Yeah. You feel me? So you could never really give him the time of day. Nobody wanted to give him any time because we're contenders now, bro. We got a defense. We got the special teams to do it. We got offensive weapons. We're here. And now we're sitting here with a project at quarterback. And that was the problem that we had. So, you know what I mean? That's what I look at it as. And that's what it was. You know what I mean? That, in my opinion, I still believe that's what it was. If he goes to a different situation or he's drafted 15 overall, it's a totally different conversation on the dude. But he happened to go two ahead of two franchise guys.
Right. That kind of killed it to him.
That's what screwed him over. And that was the downfall.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the main thing with Mitch, like the talent, I think the experience, but I think to me, just seeing it, I'm not a psychologist, but we all play sports. You know, I was in the military. Mm-hmm. It's a certain thing mentally that you got to have, like a mental toughness that you got to have to do certain things. And quarterback is one of them.
Right.
You got to be able to tune out noise, constructive criticism, bad criticism, being slandered, and not care. And not caring, just be
you gotta
like,
have a short memory.
Yeah, and a short memory, and people, one week you're high, one week you're not. And to me, when I kind of really was like, when I figured Mitch wasn't it, in my opinion, is that after the 2019 season, I didn't even give up doing the whole 2019 season. I went through that whole season and went back. I went back and just watched it, and then that's when I, and it wasn't a physical thing. It was like, he can make that. But it was all in the head. Because there were throws that were there, and he just didn't have the confidence. I'm like, the dude's open, throw it. And he just didn't trust it. And when you get to that point mentally, that's the hardest part. Because I don't know how you overcome that. I don't know how you break someone's mindset.
But see, you got to look at it. How many games did he play in college? 12?
13, I think.
13. Yeah. 13? Okay. Yeah. 13 games in college. Now, in college, the game is so much different than the pros. In the pros, the windows are smaller. So Mitch was the type of quarterback where he needed to see a guy wide open. He needed to see the guy running free in order to complete that pass. If the guy was supposed to be at a location, he was nervous about throwing it there because he didn't see it happening before it happened.
He couldn't visualize it happening before it happened.
Exactly. And that's his problem. And that comes with, like I said, I mean, when you're in a college game, you play 12, 13 games in college, and that's you see guys running wide open free, then it's easy. It's easy to do that. In high school, it's easy because these guys are way more talented than the opposition, right? But then when you get to the pros, it's like, man, all those windows, all those opportunities that he saw wide open, it confused him. It threw him off. And what really led me to believe that he was done was when he was walking around Hallis Hall turning the TVs off because he didn't want to hear. It was messing with his
mentally weak.
Right? Exactly.
Mentally weak.
So he's walking around turning the televisions off. Oh, I can't. Yeah. Bro, you're in Chicago, man. You're going to be
that's the third largest media market.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's when I said I was done. Like, a lot of people don't understand like why I think I'm high on Justin Fields. One of the reasons why is his mental makeup. Exactly. Is that he just has that. He's a honey badger. He just doesn't care. Yep. He don't care what you say. Actually, if you say something about him, he uses as fuel as motivation. He's like Jordan. He's like everything you say about him, he uses as motivation. He takes it as a slight.
Yeah. Exactly. Like Graham, who we just drafted in the draft, he said that, you know, he's never seen a quarterback talk trash right back to the defense the way Justin Fields has. And then, you know, he talks trash to him and then he makes it a magnificent play.
Right.
And then trash talks the defense more. Like, I told you. Yeah. I told
you. And then goes over there and asks him, like, what coverages are they using and what do they see when he's doing this? You know, he's asking for feedback. He just has a different confidence.
Absolutely.
And I think it, and like, even though the experience thing, I think he was like that after his sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
He just got better.
Yeah.
At it his senior year, you know, I mean, junior year. So I think that's the.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, me, as far as me, I was done with Mitch when, you know, that game he had, of course, we struggled offensively. But the game that we had against the Minnesota Vikings, and he went out there that year and he was playing like shit. And then, of course, strip sack, fumble, and then he goes and reaches for the ball and, you know, he overextends and, of course, dislocates. And then somebody lands on him and he dislocates his little shoulder or whatever. And, you know, the backup comes in and, you know, Chase Daniel comes in and he operates that offense with precision, even though they didn't put points on the board. But between the 20s, he moved them up and down the field at will. At that point, what the fuck are we what do we have him for? Mm-hmm. At that point, it's time. It's time to move on.
And Chase Daniels is not good
at all. But he moved that offense up and down the field up against that Minnesota Vikings defense, as opposed to with Mitch being in there, it was a fucking struggle. It's like everybody caught fire, or it's like everybody woke up and was like, "All right, come on, now it's time to play."
Yeah, I was looking. Chase Daniel came in the game off the bench and went 22 of 30 for 195 yards and a touchdown.
See what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was, but between the 20s, he was moving them,
right?
And it was, you know, and it was just,
he was throwing the ball down the field too.
Yes, and it was just regular ass plays. Like, okay, this guy's open, boom. And it wasn't like big chunk plays. You know what I'm saying? It was. Look, he had 195. It was like 6-7 yard routes where he's hitting cats and they wide open. And it's like, this is simple shit, man. You can't do this.
You know, the casual fan though, the average Bears fan, I don't 100%. I fault them a little bit because they were like obnoxious with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I give them a little bit of credit, and I not credit, but I give them a little bit of a pass because I place it more at the feet of the organization. And the reason I say that is because the Bears fans and the fan base as a whole has been conditioned, you might say, to accept mediocrity, right? To accept, you know, we talked about, you know, we try to force feed ourselves into believing that, hey, this guy is better than what he is.
Right.
Bro, we you know, Chicago has been putting up with piss poor quarterback play for years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you get a guy and he has an inkling of talent, then you believe, oh man, we could build something with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And,
he could run. He threw a run. It didn't take much.
Believe in that. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't take much. It took Mitch Trubisky to run a bootleg and be able to throw the ball on a run. And we're like, oh my God, Mike Glennon can't do that. No, but back in the day, the Bears would have signed Andy Dalton, and that would have been it. They'd have signed Andy Dalton, maybe drafted a developmental quarterback, and they'd have sold us. And I said this in the offseason. And we were like, hey, we need to Payson Aggie need to get fired. And the only reason, remember I said the only reason I was like, I would probably keep them, because they are crazy enough to try to get a quarterback. Yeah. I said they're crazy.
Yeah.
Cause they don't want to once Pace understood that Trubisky wasn't there, I think Nagy Ben understood that he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it took Pace a little bit. I'm pretty sure it took Pace that 2020 to finally be like.
Yeah, it had to, though, because he's the GM.
It's his guy.
But you know what? I think Pace came to realization of that a little before that. You know, just to say, for the point of why they went and got Nick Foles, right? And that was last offseason. So we'll say that was, what, 2020 offseason?
2020, yeah. But it was half-hearted. Like, if you wanted to replace him.
Well, given the fact that where they were in the draft and they didn't have a first round draft pick or anything like that. So, you know, they really couldn't do much. And really the quarterbacks that came out last year, you didn't want to get a firearm up for, you know, Herbert and who else?
Well, you couldn't get Herbert. Cause right. We have
You know, it was Herbert and whoever else went in the draft last year.
We would have had a shot at Jalen Hurts. We could have drafted
right in the second round,
or you could. And I didn't. And I like Jalen Hurts, but
I do too.
The other guy was Jordan Love, who I didn't want.
Yeah, I didn't want him either.
You'd have to, have to trade into the back of the first.
I think once Nagy realized he couldn't do nothing with Mitch, I think it was probably the 2019 season.
I think it was 2019.
He went to Pace and was like, I can't, we can't do nothing with him, man. And I think it's time to move on. And I think it was
2019. Yeah.
And I think Pace sat there and he seen that and he legitimately looked at that and was like, damn, you know, you sure? And he's like, yeah, man, you know, we can't do jack shit with dude. So, you know, in all honesty, we need to start looking for our future, looking towards our future, but we need a guy that can fill in now. And if Nick Foles could have came in last year and been that fill-in guy, you know, without being a statue back there, but given the fact that our offensive line was atrocious at the time, too, we didn't have the right combination out there.
Yeah, Rashard Coward.
Oh, my God. Yeah, guys.
PTSD, bro. You get PTSD, you start getting night sweats.
Guys who should not be in the NFL at all, you know. But, you know, you had them out there, and the fact that, you know, they looking at it like, damn. Like, Mitch would have never saw the light of day again. But
if he would have ran with that job, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So 2020, Nagy was done with him. And you knew Nagy was done with him. But he wanted to give him every chance he could possibly could to say, hey, I gave you a shot, kid. And you didn't do nothing with it. The thing is,
Nagy wanted to be done with him in the offseason, right? But the offseason was truncated, and Nick Foles was playing like boo-boo in the mini camps.
Right.
And all the reporters said, they were like, neither one of these dudes are good. He wanted him to take that job and run with it, and he didn't. So he had to play him anyway. And then the first chance he got, he pulled him. But like you said, he was done with him in 2019.
Absolutely.
And the one miscalculation they made, they didn't expect Nick Foles to be the future. Some people thought that. They wanted him to be the bridge. And that's kind of where they failed in their assessment. They thought he can kind of be the guy who can take over from last year, and then they can draft a rookie quarterback and he can be the mentor like Andy Dalton is. And Nick Foles actually was just worse than that, which he was worse than he was in Philly, which was shocking. But I mean, maybe not, because he only played well in Philly. Maybe we shouldn't have expected him to play well outside the confines of the Philadelphia area. But you know, that ship has sailed, man, and it's gone. And we're lucky and blessed to have Justin Fields, man. Because, like you said, it breathes new life. Because we go back there, it's like really no hope. You're just like, where's the upside?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the upside? You know, what if we're going to go through the whole offseason of the same old thing? We got to adjust the playbook. We got to call better plays. The wide receivers got to catch. I'm just glad that ship has sailed, man.
Now we can move to Arlington Park, and that will be the home. That will be the house that Justin Fields built. I wonder what they call it, Soldier Field 2? You know, Soldier Field Part 2 or Soldier Field 2? Because we can't lose that name.
Who owns the naming rights?
I think Parks and Rec City.
They're going to be salty, bro.
I mean, shit. What are they going to do with it? Because at the end of the day, it's going to get bulldozed down. They're not going to leave that up in the city.
No, they're going to leave it up. They're going to figure something out to do with it. I guarantee you. The city going to try to save it and do something with it, sell it to some college.
But the crazy thing is that they won't even, you know what I'm saying? They want it there, right? But they won't do anything to make it, to do any updates to it. They won't do shit. That's why they leaving. And they're like, look, man, we need a bigger stadium. Okay.
And they want to own it.
You see what they that bitch said? Stadium. The fucking mayor? Why don't you win some games first? Bitch, who are you talking to? Shut up or you get slapped in your whole mouth. Fuck you, man, talking to, lady? Wearing them fucked up ass suits. Like, man, I'm sorry, like, man, but she be like taking me there, man. Like, hold up, bitch. Maybe you should win some games first. Focus on beating the Packers.
Looking like them players that get drafted in the 2003 draft. You know, right. Back in early 2000, them
big old suits.
Like, big old suits.
Man, that lady, man, it's like, okay, because I don't know what the fuck is on her mind, but, you know, that brings a lot of money to the city, you know, on Sundays with the Bears being here. And then there's a fact that they could move to Arlington Park and all that money goes into their pockets.
Yep. Which, and the Bears, I mean, they become a more valuable organization if they own their own stadium.
Absolutely.
It's like they're the only team to be especially that big and that valuable that don't own their own stadium. So they probably walking around all these owners' meetings like, oh, yeah, I just built the stadium. And the Bears are like, we still in Soldier Field. They probably get laughed at in the owners' meetings. You guys still leasing. At Soldier Field?
You still leasing?
You leasing Soldier Field?
Still leasing?
You guys worth $5 billion and you leasing the stadium?
Go build your own damn stadium.
The NFL will give you half. Man, the NFL will pay a lot of that, what they got to pay, because they're the charter franchise.
Yeah.
The NFL's going to, it'll get worked out. It'll get worked out. There's ways to make a deal happen. People are like, well, I can't do this. They can't do that. They can sell like 20% of the team for a couple billion, because somebody can say they're just part owner of the Bears. They can do all kind of stuff, man. I think it's a wrap. It looked like they had that, signed like some type of deal with Churchill Downs.
Yeah, they cleared the way. They cleared the way, got it done. It looked like they out, man, at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Man,
money's getting thrown under the table. Hands are getting greased.
Absolutely. And it looked like it's a done deal. But I think they're doing this because they are about to sell the Bears, man. They finna get sold.
And I think Pompey said they might sell part of it. They won't sell all of it, but they might sell like a good stake.
So 20% I forgot the of it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that too. So they moving stadiums make it more valuable and they can get more money.
Yeah. You never know, man. I mean, Virginia looked like she about to kick the bucket, man. She can't live too much longer, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying she's getting up there.
You were saying that 5 years ago, though.
I know, right? Like, damn. But, you know, I want to know what type of regimen she got going. What type of vitamin regimen she got going. I need to get on that. But, you know, I mean, damn. Shit, man. I mean, it seemed like she looked like she's been the same, looking the same since I was a kid, man. I'm 37, bro. Like, damn. You know, remember that movie Death Becomes Her? I mean, what kind of fountain of youth potion you found, man? Seriously, to just, okay, I'm going to stay this way forever. I'm just going to drink this potion and then hope don't nobody pay attention that I never age.
Right.
Like, damn, she been around for a while, man. But, you know, those kids and you know, the kids and the kids to the kids, they don't give a damn about the Bears. They don't. They just want the money.
Nah, they don't.
Holding on to it because it holds some semblance, remembrance of her father. You know, who knows how we would have turned out if Muggs would have ran the hole and never died, you know? It wouldn't be McCaskey, it'd still be Hallis.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all about that money, man.
All about the money.
It's all about the money. You guys follow the money trail. It's all about the money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and did y'all, I know everybody saw that video of A-Rob and Darnell Mooney working
out. Yes, sir.
And it looked like Mooney was running air on like clouds, man.
Yes, sir.
So smooth. And it caused a little controversy.
Yeah, because it caused big controversy because he sat up there after when the video was posted. You know, A-Mill sat up there and said, oh, just because you don't post videos of yourself working out, people think you aren't working. And I took that as a...
Shots fired!
Like, what the hell is going on with that? And I can tell you. Man. Well, I can tell you what's really going on. And in actuality, A-Mill is in his feelings, man. He's in his feelings because he feels that he should be the one working out with A-Rob. But I hate to say it, man. You know, I truly think that the writing is on the wall for this young man. And it just seemed like people are in denial, man. When I tell them, like, look, I know when a receiver is gone. All right. Trust me, I went through the shit myself. And I can tell you how they tell you you're gone without telling you you're gone. They just stop fucking with you. And when they stop, I'm just being honest, man. Hey, I'm just being real. When they stop fucking with you, that's a good sign. And anybody who would know would be the number one receiver, right?
Yeah.
You think he would know, right? You think he would know. Somebody would come to him and be like, man, what's the situation? Because, again, every time A-Rob would post something, Anthony Miller would post something right behind it, co-signing. Mm-hmm. Every time Anthony Miller will post something, A-Rob will be right behind him posting something to co-sign it. Now, this has been going on for the last 2 years. Well, this year, outside of Anthony Miller saying, this is me against me versus me, and A-Rob saying, yeah, you just need to focus on balling out. Ever since, nothing. It's been nothing. You know, A-Mill been posting tweets and everything else, you know. And notice, A-Rob hasn't responded to nothing. Nothing. Then, to A-Mill's chagrin, he goes on social media and he sees A-Rob working out with the Young Pup. Now, this is the same young cat that took your spot. Because you was the number two. So this is the same young cat that came in and took your spot and moved you to number three and number four to the bench. So he feels some type of way about that. I'm certain he do. But it's getting thick, man. Because again, in camp, we seen highlights of Bird. We seen highlights of Goodwin. We seen highlights of Mooney. We ain't seen no highlights of three motherfuckers. And no, we haven't seen highlights from damn three of these motherfuckers. Javon Wims. The young boy, Ridley. We haven't seen. Is he still on the fucking team? Golly.
We never see highlights of Ridley.
Is he still on the goddamn team? We haven't seen any highlights of him. And we haven't seen any Anthony Miller highlights.
I think Anthony Miller was hurt, though. I think he got nicked up. I don't know if it was serious or not.
Who knows? But it's coming down to these three gentlemen, man. And that's the thing about it. Is like, yo, what is really going on with you, son? You know, I tried to lift his spirits because I felt bad for him. I'm like, yo, the strong move, you know, the strong move quiet and the weak start riots. You know, let your play speak, man. Focus on what you can control and just try to ball out. You could tell he was looking for some type of, I don't know, man. He was looking for some type of, I wouldn't even say justification, but assurance, you know what I'm saying? For somebody to reach out to him and be like, yo, it's all good. He was in his feelings with that, man. Big time.
I wouldn't even hear Dan.
He might be in his feelings, man, but I just don't see them cutting him. I just don't see that happening. He's got more talent than Bird. I mentioned Bird because everybody's so high on Bird, and I'm just like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not that. I mean, he's fast. That's about it. If he makes the team, he'll be pretty much, in my opinion, relegated to returning punts or something like that.
You know
what
I mean?
That's what he's going to be doing. Yeah. He's not going to have no impact on the offensive side of the game. He's not going to, you know, you got Cole Kmet. They got too many weapons. Damir Bird, to keep him around just for that would be stupid, in my opinion. But hey, if they do it, they do it. Anthony Miller, though, he's on the last year, man. Why would they cut him when he's on the last year? If he doesn't pan out, then he just walks away at the end of the year. You know, go find another job somewhere else. I don't think they're going to cut him. I think he's got too much talent. He's a second-round draft pick. And at the end of the day, he's got too much talent to be cut. That's just my opinion. And maybe he felt some type of way, but, you know, at the end of the day, the number one and two wide receiver always work together. You look, go back and look at, you know, when Alshon came in around,
Brandon Marshall
took him under. Yeah, you know what I mean? And they start working together. So pretty much that's what happens. At this point, Anthony Miller is probably the number three slot guy or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Him and Goodwin is probably in that position. So he's battling with that, trying to make sure that he can solidify himself as a third. And I think Anthony Miller can actually be a really good slot receiver. I really do. I think he can.
Mm-hmm. His elusiveness. Him and Daz Newsome.
Yeah.
Can really cause some trouble there at that slot.
That short area quickness.
Yeah, exactly. Him, Daz Newsome, and Marquise Goodwin. All three of those guys.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I just don't think he'll get cut, man. If he felt some type of way, he felt some type of way. But, you know, he probably wanted to go. I mean, go work out with him, man. There ain't nothing stopping you from doing it. You didn't get invited. Invite yourself at this point. I don't care.
Yeah.
If it's me, that's what
like,
I do.
I'm coming down. Hey, I'm coming down. Like, yeah, you know, both of them.
I'm on my way. You know what I mean?
This is your, what?
What they going to say? No?
Yeah, you enter your fourth year with A-Rob. You know, his third, fourth year. Come on. You know him. So, right. Yeah. I feel as I don't think he's going to get cut. But what I do see is that his snap count
it's gonna is, be really
at,
low.
Is at risk. Yeah. Because like I was going over it, like you look at the targets, like A-Rob got like 150 targets. Mooney got like 100. I expect Mooney's targets to go up. Komet's targets gonna go up. Yeah. If Tariq Cohen comes back, Tariq his targets Cohen, are yeah. his targets are always high. His targets yeah. are like 70, well, 80, 90. He's gonna
catch some balls.
Yeah, he's gonna catch like 60. You're gonna get 60, 70 targets. So like and then you still got Jimmy Graham, the number two tight end, is gonna get some targets. You gotta so the third wide receiver in this offense might get 60 targets. Right. And what I think is gonna happen is probably just gonna be divided. Like I don't see Berg getting a lot of targets, but you may see he'll get situations where he put in because like I think the number dude, Anthony Miller was playing the slot. He played the slot like 80% of the time. If you look at, like I said, you got to go back to Kansas City and see what they like to run. They don't like having a designated slot receiver. They move guys in and out. Like mm-hmm. Tariq Cohen's going to be in the slot. Komet might be in the slot. A-Rod might be in the spot. Mooney might be in the slot. Goodwin, because you're less predictable. You're like, okay, we do. A-Rod's the number one, but he doesn't always have to line out outside. Mm-hmm. Like, Emma, I know Devorah can attest to this. If you're a good wide receiver, you can play the X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely.
You can go all over the field. That creates mismatch.
And the J. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the J. So, like, Anthony Miller, he was always playing slot. That's the only position he played. So, when Anthony Miller was in the game, he was playing a slot. And so, that limits him. So, in order for him to get time, he's going to have to learn how to play on the outside. Because Goodwin and Bird, they could play on the outside and inside, even though they're small. They're not just slot guys. They play primarily outside, but they can move inside. And so, I think that's going to be big for him to get that route running and understanding the playbook so you can play more than that one position. And I think he'll make the team, but his time, he's going to have to fight for time. He's going to have to battle for time because that number three wide receiver in this offense ain't getting a whole lot of targets as it is, man. And he's going to have to fight, claw, scratch, you know, for any snap that he gets, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, he's talented, so you don't just cut him because you end up getting an injury here and there and you depending on Riley Ridley and Javon Wims and, you know, right. and Thomas Ives.
Thomas Ives. Ives not gonna make the team.
You calling up Daniel Braverman.
Oh man. Sonsenbacher.
It's gonna be interesting though, man, to see how that plays out. How the whole situation plays out because I mean, you know, I'm looking at the wide receiver room and it's competition there. Let's put it you know. Put it lightly, you can say it's competition there.
Absolutely.
There's some guys that are gonna get put on the practice squad or possibly even cut that, you know, somebody else is gonna pick up, of course, because they're talented. I think the Bears have a lot of talent there. That's the good thing that I see. Mm-hmm. No matter what route we go, I think we'll have talented guys in the mm-hmm. wide receiver room that can make plays, you know. So
just since we're on the topic of wide receivers, we can go over positional reviews. We can like who, because usually we keep six. So right now we got outside of the guys who probably I can't even pronounce a name because they, you know, they're not that good. You know, we got A-Rob, we got Mooney, Miller, Goodwin, Bird, Newsom, Wims, and Ridley. That's eight. So we'll stick to those eight because we know guys like Thomas Ives and whoever aren't going to make the team. So out of those eight, who y'all got is the six?
My six consists of A-Rob, Mooney, I think Bird, I think Goodwin. That's four. I'm also thinking that, let me see, after Goodwin, I'm going to have to go Newsom, five. And I would say, Miller. I think Wims and Ridley get cut. I think Ridley gets put on the practice squad. I think Wims gets released.
I think.
But then again, it could go the other way around due to the fact that Anthony Miller. You know, he George may want him gone. And that could be, you know, George may say, I don't want him here. You know, I want him gone.
Yeah, but he would have been done that, though.
Yeah,
you know possibly. Possibly.
You know,
you know, he said his bigger issue was with, you know, Anthony Miller. So, You never know.
George, I don't trust none of George, so George just be talking.
Lip service.
I mean, he ain't no football guy anyway, so that's the way I look at it. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to say, you know. I'm going to go – I think Miller stays. I think Mooney, of course, A-Rob. I'm going to say Goodwin. And I'm going to say Ridley sticks around. And I'm going to say – how many is that for me? Is that five? That's five? Okay, so I take one more. I'm going to go – it's not going to be Bird.
Why you got against Bird? I ain't got nothing against Bird, bro.
I just don't feel like he's – man, he's just fast, man. That's all he is. That dude dropped some passes, man. He's just – I don't know. Man, I'm going to go – what'd I say? Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Anthony Miller. I'm taking Riley Ridley. He's going to be like the sixth guy, though. Man, it's hard to say, bro.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think it's between Newsome, Wims.
Newsome, because he got this injury, I think he starts out on the practice squad for some reason.
Okay.
I think he starts out on the practice squad because he's spending 8 weeks with that collarbone situation.
Well, they said he'll be ready for training camp. I think he has to
be ready.
Yeah, he'll be ready for training camp. He just has to show and prove about what he does.
Okay. So if he's ready, I see him making the squad. Then.
Yeah.
And there goes your six. I see
him making the squad.
Yeah, if he's slow rolling, they'll just put him on the IR or something.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think Wims might be on his way out. I think Ridley. I would keep Ridley because I think he's a little bit more talented as a wide receiver than Wims. Wims is probably a better blocker, but Ridley is probably he's better wide receiver. And when Ridley plays, man, he makes plays sometimes. He catches the ball. I don't know why he doesn't get more burn, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wims got more burn than him, but
yeah, it's a strange. I know he's not fast at all, dude. I think he ran like a 4.8. So I don't know if he's just so slow. Yeah, that they just
But Ridley, I seen him play in Georgia, man. And you don't play in the SEC if you ain't fast, man. I think he had a bad day when he ran that 4.8 or whatever.
I just don't know why the hell he can't get on the field.
Yeah.
What is he doing to where he's not getting any damn playing time?
Right.
Yeah, that's a big mystery, man, with Ridley. Yeah, my six, I think, of course, A-Rob Mooney, that's the one and two. Then I think Goodwin, who's probably going to be the third receiver that gets the most snaps. I don't know if he's necessarily a slot per se. As long as he's healthy, his issue is always health. It ain't never talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Miller still makes it. That gives me four. I think Bird makes it because they want that speedy kickoff return. I don't think he's going to be like a major – factor in offense, but like we were running those jet sweeps and we were running them with like Anthony Miller, and he ain't that fast, man. Like, nobody's scared that you're gonna hand the ball to Anthony Miller. Like, okay, Allen Robinson, they're like, okay, if you do, what you gonna do? Like, they 4.5, 4.6 guys. I think stuff like that, little trick, Nagy loves that little trick gadget place crap. He likes those type of guys. I think Bird makes it. That's five. And then the last spot, I think, is going to be dependent on, because I got Robinson, Mooney, Miller, Goodwin, Bird. Then the sixth slot is going to be dependent. I think Daz Newsome is going to get it if he can come back healthy and his collarbone isn't a mess. If his collarbone's still kind of dragging out, they put him on the IR. And they probably – then it's going to be between Ridley and Wims. I would prefer Ridley, but I know that's not how the Bears think.
Mm-hmm.
They will probably put Ridley on the practice squad and all keep right. Javon Wims because he can block and he plays special teams and he's big. Yeah. And like outside of like him and outside of Allen Robinson, Ridley and Wims, you don't have any big wide receivers. Everybody's like little small guys, which is fine. You know,
Ridley 6'2" though.
Yeah, that's what I say. He's a big dude. Yeah. Ridley, Wims, and A-Rob are the biggest wide receivers. The rest of them all like 5'11", 5'10", 5'9", and quick, fast guys. So,
before we go any further, let's give a shout out to our Bears wide receiver Marquise Goodwin for his Olympic trials. Even though he came up short, you know, even though he came up short in qualifying for the Olympic team. However, you know, just the fact that he was damn near there, you know what I'm saying? It would have been representing in the Olympics, man. That's a huge feat, man. You know what I'm saying?
He was wearing Bears gear, too. He wore a Bears little jacket and had a little Bears, like, the leggings on. So he represented.
Right, no doubt.
And he has already made the Olympic team before, too. So,
yep, yes, sir.
You know what I mean? He's already an Olympian, a past Olympian. So, you know, yeah, special kudos for him for that, man. Being able to get in there and try out for it.
How talented you got to be, man, you know?
Yeah, world-class speed, man. That's that's a different level speed, man.
Absolutely.
That's a different level speed. And I think the Bears will benefit from having a guy that fast. I truly think that. Like I know we are, people are like, a lot of, you see it on Twitter, a lot of people joke about Nagy, the short routes and things like that. But if you actually go back at his core, that ain't what he want to run. And then, you know, it's like, yeah, that ain't what he want to run. But when your quarterback's Nick Foles, like chucking the ball like 10 yards over the receiver's head and missed chucking the ball over 10 yards, he can't run that stuff. He can't, and the line can't block, you know. You can't run deep routes if your line can't block and your quarterback can't make the throw. So he's like, he's running curls. He wasn't running that in Kansas City, I tell you that, bro. They were chugging that thing. So if your line can block and you got a quarterback that can make the pass, I can assure Bears fans, man, that you ain't gonna be seeing four core routes, you know, at the line of scrimmage, man. That ain't what that man wants to run.
Right.
That man does not want to run that.
If they run that, man, his days is numbered. Because he's gonna be exposed as being a fraud, fraud.
They ain't running that, bro. Like, I actually went back. I tell people, like, I think it was the last five games of the 2017 season. If you have Game Pass, go back to the last seven games, last four or five games of the Kansas City Chiefs season. That's when Nagy was calling the plays. And you can see, like, you can get an idea of what he actually wants to run. Because, and the difference is they actually had the talent. And I actually think the Bears have the talent now. You know, I ain't saying Cole Kmet is Travis, is Kelsey. You know, I ain't saying, you know, Darnell Mooney is Tariq Hill. But, hell, they're a lot closer than what we had in, like, 2019 and all the other seasons, man. They actually got receivers that can run fast and get open. Like, Mecole Hardman, like, we big these guys up. These guys ain't catching 100 passes a year. These guys are catching 45 passes, 50 passes, you know, a year.
Right.
Facts.
You know, they're role players. You know,
facts.
So, I can see a good one or something like that catching 45 passes, but when they catch the ball, they're fast. So you got a quarterback that can hit them on a slant in stride, a guy that's 4'2", he runs for another, you know, 20, 30 yards. That's mm-hmm. the offense. And before, we didn't have that. We didn't have a quarterback that can hit a guy in stride or have a guy that can catch the ball in stride and run after the catch, you know, until now. So hopefully, man, we can get this offense going and running. And put up some points, man. So we ain't trying to win games 18-16.
Hey, I got a question for y'all though, man. I know we was on the wide receiver situation and we talked about Darnell Mooney and Robinson working out together. But it's two videos that I wanted to talk about. One was that video of them working out, right? Mm-hmm. How y'all think they looked? And then the second video that I was gonna talk about is the one where Justin Fields threw the ball and hit the crossbar for the second time in a row.
Yeah.
You know, 35 yards out.
You know, on that one, somebody was in my thread and talking about it didn't hit the crossbar, saying it was fake. Look at it again. It hit the ground and somebody made the ping noise. I'm like, dude, is you serious?
People hate, man.
Is you serious? Talking about, it look at it. I mean, put the bifocals on it. It hit the ground. It didn't hit the crossbar. Like, man,
hit the ground after the crossbar, fool.
I want to be like, you know what, man? Just straight up.
That music is garbage.
Quit hating, bro. Quit hating.
Oh man,
ain't nobody trying to hear that. Quit hating. Like, damn, you know, it hit the crossbar. It didn't hit the crossbar. Somebody did the ping after it hit the ground. I'm like, duh. I mean, I can see clear as day. It's hitting the goddamn crossbar.
Yeah, it bounced off the ground. It's a video that's close. It was Quincy Avery, the quarterback coach, Deshaun Watson's like a personal like guy.
Yeah,
and they were having a competition. It's another video where Justin didn't hit it. Quincy Avery hit it because I was like, oh snap. So they were doing this thing all day. I guess it's a thing. Remember that guy from QB1? DJ Ugu. I can't say his last name. He was going against
Ugalele.
Yeah.
Ugalele.
Him and Justin. That dude got a cannon, by the way.
Yeah.
Justin was throwing the ball one.
He's going to be the next. He's going to be the next franchise QB coming out in college football.
If people want to say there's a QB factory, the only QB factory probably is Clemson. Clemson seemed to be producing them. And ain't no other university that produced back-to-back. And now, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be legit. I know he hasn't, as some people say, he hasn't taken an NFL snap yet, bro. Come on now.
Well, you know, you got Urban Meyer saying that he's not ready yet, but he doesn't have to be. You know, he's saying he's not ready yet, you know, but he doesn't have to be, which is, you know, it's good, you know, whatever. Fuck him. I'm worried about Justin Fields. You know, it's just, I mean, shit, very rarely does rookies come in and be world beaters, man. It's not that damn easy.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to pare down the offense if you start them, you know. People are just hating. It's a lot of salty people about Justin Fields right now, man. Yeah. A lot of teams pass on him. They bought into the – it was a lot of narratives about Justin Fields, and it seems the Chris Sims narrative is the one that took control of everything.
Right.
You know, the, oh, he can't do this, he can't do it. Everybody else seemed to be like, nah, he's pretty good, except the Chris Sims guy. So, right. And everybody ran with that and justified why they didn't pick him. And then you start getting these reports out of camp that Justin Fields is a leader and he's coming in 2 weeks older. He's throwing dimes and he's special and he's so intelligent. He's everything we ever thought of. And they're like, man, maybe we should have picked him. Drew Lock ain't all that. So you get a lot of people.
Shout out to at @S_K_Powell Ray, Tonsorial artist.
Yep.
What a tweet he put out there, right? Yep. I'm gonna read it right quick.
Yes, sir.
This is a dope tweet he put out there. Yeah, me too. He said, I am tweeting it. Wait. He said, am I tweaking or is Justin Fields being hated on for no reason unknown to us other than him being black? I don't think it's just because of him being black at this point. Pure slander now. I believe the talking heads and so-called analysts have a fear of him shattering records or something. And I said, you might be onto something there, because it's like they're out of their minds with jealousy and envy
and hatred
over who
this
guy is and what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to him for that. That was a good tweet, man. It really, you know, it shines some light on some things, man. And you know, you got to look at it for what it is, man. It's a reason why they hate this guy so much. It's like they know he's gonna be talented and good, and they don't want it. They don't want to see him be that guy. You know what I mean? This next generational talent, you might say, right?
Gonna be the face of the NFL, and he's black.
Exactly.
At quarterback.
Exactly.
You know what? What is the need for all the unnecessary hate?
Yep.
That's uncalled for.
Yeah, they put these takes out there, man. They put this stuff out there, and they got to double down on it, because if not, they're gonna look stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you said, oh, this guy can't do this, this guy can't do that, and then he goes out and does it. You know, it's gonna make you look bad. You know, these guys live and die with their takes, their hot takes. You know, they said this guy's better, that guy's better, and they're not. And we knew it.
It was like a liar. Once you start lying, you got to keep that lie going.
Got to keep that lie going. No doubt.
Yeah, you fight on that lie, like they said in the wire. You fight on that lie. You got to keep it up. And now people are starting to get called out in other media markets, like, you know, other people passed on them. The Panthers, why didn't the 49ers, but why didn't they pick them? Oh, it had to be something. They got to be something. Like, no, man, this happens every year in the NFL, every year.
Yeah.
You know. That 11 teams passed on Deshaun Watson, 9 teams passed on, you know, Pat Mahomes. And we used to say that same thing. Well, nobody knew. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs knew. So,
right.
Somebody knew.
Somebody knew.
So you can't say no one knew. You didn't know.
And they said Justin Fields checks all the boxes, man. I'm just so excited. I want to see him play so bad.
Oh, he does. We can go over this real quick. Arm cannon.
Mm-hmm.
What was that stat? He was one of the most accurate. Let me go over that. I got to pull this out. The most accurate deep passes in college football history. I screenshotted this, dude.
Yeah.
Let me find this. Justin Fields on 30-plus yard throws in his college career at Ohio State University. 95.7 passing grade. 18 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Damn! Ballin'!
Real.
And so, it's like, you, like, people are going to get fired because of this decision, bro. Think about how did you... People are going to be like, how did you pass on this guy? It's not like you didn't know. Like, look at his numbers. Look what he did. He's been in the spotlight. How did you pass on this guy?
It's divine intervention, man. We had to get lucky. We had to get lucky, though. We definitely had to get lucky at some point because of what happened to us with the Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson situation. What happened to us? We had to get lucky at some point.
It ain't even that. I mean, it ain't even that. You just got to look at other teams and look at the luck that other teams get. Like the Cowboys, for existence.
For example, I should say.
They got, you know, CeeDee Lamb, and he should not have fallen to them.
Right. Well, they got Dak Prescott in the fourth round.
Who? Right.
Dak Prescott.
Tony Romo.
Fourth round.
UDFA.
It was dark days before Romo got there, though. Romo and Troy Aikman, it was very dark days in Dallas at the quarterback position.
Yeah. The Packers got lucky. They sent up there with Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be the number one draft pick. He fell all the way to 20-something.
Yeah, they got lucky.
They didn't even have to move up, you know.
Yeah.
Teams get lucky, man. I mean,
so we was due.
That's why
we was long overdue for 100 years.
I was like, why can't we just get lucky? Why can't we, like, bring in an undrafted free agent and he's, like, the next Kurt Warner?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why can't we just get lucky, you know? You know, and we finally got lucky. You know, and I'm telling you, man, a lot of people are going to have to answer questions of why you passed over this guy. And they already trying to start backtracking because they know they get the reports. They hear Nagy about to, like, lose his mind talking about. They hear pros, Darnell Mooney. They watch the video sometime. Darnell Mooney, I was running and I saw the ball in there and I just started smiling.
It was on point.
They see this.
It's crazy.
They see this stuff and you know, now they got an answer for it. Oh well. But yeah, back to that Darnell Mooney video. It looked like he was running routes on clouds, man.
Yeah, it's like he's floating.
He looked smooth in that thing, man. I was like, he looks so quick. It's like the movement is just easy and natural. You know what I mean? It doesn't look herky jerky or forced or you know, like he's putting in a whole lot of effort.
Right.
It's just a natural thing, man. And it's different when you see somebody like that and then you see guys who really try hard. It's like, you know what I mean? It's a difference. Mm-hmm. It's like when a guy's throwing a ball and like Justin Fields throw the ball or Michael Vick. Let's put Michael Vick in there.
Yeah.
Because Michael Vick can sling that rock, man.
Yeah, like yeah.
And it looks like he's not even trying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So and that's what I look at when I see Mooney. A-Rob looked good too, man. He looked fast. He looked quick, but he did not look as quick as Mooney. Mooney's got another level of quickness to him.
Yeah, A-Rob more physical.
No knock on A-Rob though, because
he's A-Rob a physical big. A-Rob can run some routes, dude. He's a physical big. He's a physical big receiver, man.
And his ability to get off the line. I've said it all the time since he's been with Chicago. He is the best, in my opinion, at getting off the line. He's better than Davante Adams. They talk about Davante Adams. I think he's better. That dude can get off the line like nobody's business.
Yeah, speaking of that, Chad Ochocinco gave Allen Robinson and Justin Fields some props. Said, hey, I'm always open since I'm not available. Allen Robinson is, you know. So if you want to make it easy in your first year, just making a line adjustment at the line and, you know, get him the ball. You know, and it's cool to see somebody like Ochocinco, good route runner, you know.
Yep.
A national dude who's well respected, give props to, you know, a Bears quarterback.
Absolutely.
And a Bears wide receiver, man. Exactly. So it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a new era.
It is.
It's a new day.
We don't see that often, man.
Yeah, man. It's a new day.
Enjoy it, Bears fans. Don't feel bad about
embrace it.
Embrace
it. Didn't you say that, Will? Don't feel bad about this, man. We deserve this.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, oh, no, man, I got it. Oh, no. You know, no, man. If a dude is good, he's good, man. Like the thing about, like you said, effortless. Like, they asked Justin Fields, hey, man, how do you throw the ball that deep? It's so beautiful. He said, I just do it. Like other guys, you're like, I got to keep my elbow tucked in and my knee pointed this way. And if I do this and my balance, he's like, I just do it. The dude's down. I just throw it.
Throw it, and the guy goes and catches it.
And he catches it. And I just been doing that my whole life. And that's how you know a person's good. Like a good shooter is a good shooter.
Yeah.
you don't have to be like, oh, well, you got to do this and do that. And you got to, like Giannis, you know, going basketball, he had to work on his form. And
they got to do all that. They got to tuck the elbow. They got
to. Yeah. Steph Curry don't have to do that.
Get a routine and all of that.
Steph Curry, he's like dribbling, chucking the ball from half court and it's just going in. He's like, how do you do it? He practices, but he's like, how do you do that? That's a natural ability, bro. He trained, exactly. But trust me, he is naturally gifted at shooting the basketball. Exactly. You can shoot as many shots as Steph Curry and you still won't be as good as Steph Curry.
Exactly. Because
he has a natural ability to shoot that ball.
Absolutely.
Same thing with Justin Fields. He has a natural ability to throw the D ball.
Absolutely.
It's certain quarterbacks, no matter how much they trained and how much they tried and how much work they put in, they still will not be that talented. So embrace it, man. Enjoy it. It's going to be a wild ride, man. It's going to be fun, man.
It's going to be fun, man.
So, y'all fellas got any parting shots?
Parting shot for me. Glad everybody's in camp. Yeah. in camp. Just excited to see what's going on. You know, Matt Nagy is not going to give us any truth to what's going on and who's going to be the starting quarterback. You know, I just hope that Justin actually gets run with the ones, you know, in preseason. We only got 3 preseason games. You know, starting out against the Dolphins, right? On August 14th or 15th, right. Something like that. 14th,
yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to see that go down. And shit, we less than a month away. Month and a half away from our first preseason snap. 2 months away from our first live action game, fellas.
Man.
Yeah. It's getting short. Shit, the 4th of July will be next weekend.
Yeah.
Next weekend. So, show will be coming either a little early or right on time. But next weekend will be the 4th. I think the 4th falls on a Sunday, right?
No, the 4th. Yeah, the 4th is on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
I'm off on the 5th.
Yeah. Same.
The 5th also.
Same.
Yeah.
You know, my parting shot, man, is you know, some of the things that I've wanted to happen is like a domino effect, right? Things that I priority list that I have for the offseason. Quarterback. We got Justin Fields, of course. That's one domino down, right? The next one that in order of priority was me and Eddie Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Goldman. That was a priority. He's coming back, so that's good. The last thing is the strong safety position. Hopefully we get that some type of answer there soon.
Yeah, you know, for me, it was the tackles. I wanted the tackle and the quarterback. So we got the tackles. But parting shots, man, is that I want to tell Bear fans, enjoy this, man. Enjoy this. Don't let you know, you got outside, like, teams. Oh, how do you know? Like, listen, man, like I said this before, we've been watching breakdowns from QB school and Kurt Warner. Enjoy it, man. The dude can play. It ain't a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When is he going to, you know, take that step and be the superstar? He checks all the boxes. He said he got the arm. He runs a 4.4, and he's a pocket passer. Like, that's what you want. Most quarterbacks that run a 4.4 are runners. You want a quarterback who's as talented a passer as he is a runner. You know, he's highly intelligent. He's tough. He broke his ribs in the Clemson game and came out and, like, destroyed him. He plays big in big games. He has the pedigree. He's used to being in front of the camera. He has this icy cold personality where nothing affects him. And they've been saying that since he was high school. Nothing phases him. You know, he has the right height, the right body build. You know, just enjoy it, man.
Enjoy it, man.
Don't let people talk you down. Don't just let people tell you how to fan. You know, if you hype, you hype. Buy a Justin Fields jersey. You know, cheer this man on. It's going to be bumps. It's going to be bruises. It's going to be a lot of fun times. Just ride with it, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ride out.
You know, that's my parting shot, man. So that's all we got for the week, man. Thank y'all for joining us. Thank y'all for coming out. It's greatly appreciated. Nothing but love, man. Until then, we out.
Peace.